I hope you're well. Fantastic. Christmas is coming. The geese are getting fat. One or two others. Let's stand, shall we? Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for coming and living on this earth. Thank you for ascending into heaven. Thank you for the throne of grace by which we can come to you. And we come to you today, Lord, and we ask you, Father, for light and life. We just come and we just say we need you, Lord. Would you send your Holy Spirit right now? And Father, clarify our minds. Help us to focus on you. Keep our hearts soft, we pray, Lord. And let us learn something fresh. Amen. 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 It's a lovely tree. I've switched off the lights. It was that kind of bip, 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 bip. I didn't want us to be too distracted. I hope you can see the overhead there, the third saying of John the Baptist. This morning I was one of those slightly disturbing things. You're sitting in the prayer meeting and you need to change something in your talk. So I kind of rushed over, adjusted my overheads. And so I'm just going to really talk and just choose the overheads that I think would be appropriate. A few weeks ago, I started a series which we were doing at Carroty Wood. It was the four sayings of John the Baptist. Can anybody remember what the first saying was? Number two. David, do you remember the first one? Begins with R. Repent. That's right. Yep, this was the first thing that John the Baptist came his message, and it was the same, almost word for word, the same message, the message of Jesus. It was the same message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and Paul said it was the same message that he took around the Gentile world. And we discovered when we looked at this thing, repent, that actually repentance was a very positive thing. The repentance means to turn. And it means to turn from everything that is bad and harmful and that God hates and turning towards God. It's a turning away from and a turning towards God. And whatever that message was, the result was incredible because thousands and thousands of people from around the area piled to see this poor man come out of the desert and preach this simple message. It was very powerful. And then the second one was, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And let's just take a moment to remember the enormity and the wonder of this message, that God came down in the form of Jesus, lived 30 years upon this earth as a man, and died on the cross for you and me. And everything that we have this morning, all the blessings, the earthly blessings, the spiritual blessings, we have because Jesus died. What a fabulous message. And then the third message, which is today's message, was John said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me, who is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, what does this really mean? What does this really mean? I don't want church to be theoretical. I don't want Christianity to be theoretical for me. I want there to be reality. What does this mean for me? What does this mean to you? What does it mean, the baptism in the Holy Spirit? When I became a Christian in the 70s, the charismatic movement was happening, and many people in denominations who had, many of whom, as the it says in Ephesus in the Bible, had not even heard of the Holy Spirit. It was just, he was just part of the Trinity, and there was something happening, and people were hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. And there was a kind of doctrinal thing too. It's almost sometimes like you had to join the club. So you're an evangelical, you believe the Bible, you believe in salvation, we are saved, and that happened to me in 1974. And then there was another step that we heard about, which was called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And some people had a great experience of God, of the Holy Spirit. Others maybe thought it was something that we received by faith. And to be honest, it didn't make much difference. And if there's anything the Holy Spirit wants to do, it's to make a difference in our lives. So I'm not talking about ticking boxes here. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God making a difference in our lives. Where are you this morning? Are you hungry for God? All right, we're just here this morning, just ticking the boxes. We're here Sunday morning. That's what we do. Meet some lovely people, drink some half-decent coffee, and we're off. Because actually, it can be like that, can't it? But we want something more. I trust we want something more. Why was the Holy Spirit given? It's good to have a purpose, isn't it, for all that we do. And this was the purpose of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit was given for a very clear purpose, that we might receive power, that we might be effective in the thing that God has called us to do. He's called us to three things. He's called us to obey him. The Bible says that if we love God, we will obey him. That's the evidence of our love. That we should love one another. This was the second and most important part of it. And we as a church, we enjoy the love that we have one for one another. And there can always be more, can't there? A lot more. But the third thing is that we have a mission in this world, and that is to reach others with the good news of Jesus. Not just to just come and talk about what we believe, but to reach others. And this is the thing that we need power for. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses all over the world." So this applies to us. This wasn't just written for the early church that maybe reached Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and some parts of the world. But this says the uttermost parts of the earth. That's Kentish Town. That's Tufnell Park. That's wherever you live and you work. The Holy Spirit has come to give us power. And the point is, how much power are we really experiencing? For me, I think over the last years, God has warmed my heart so that more than for a lot of my Christian life, I really want to see people come to know Jesus, genuinely. You know, my neighbors, not as much as I should do, I'm sure, but I do want that. And I take some opportunities that I have of inviting my friends, students, whatever, to different things. And I'm ready often to talk about Jesus. But even in the talking, we want people to come to Jesus. And so we have to acknowledge our need for power. Does anybody here think that they need more of the power of the Holy Spirit? I just want to check you with me on this one. Okay, I believe we really do, don't we? I was going to the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, Joe and I, and we had a little bit of time before the prayer meeting. And so I said to Joe, "I'm just going to pray a little bit and think about the talk on Sunday a bit more." And as I was praying, I was drawn to the Christmas story. I wasn't actually going to talk about that this morning, but I felt a passage in there that God really spoke to me about. And the passage is this one. It's actually the beginning of the Christmas story. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest called Zechariah of the division of Abijah. Sounds Nigerian, doesn't it? And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Elizabeth? Abijah? And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. And something happened to this couple. It says there appeared to him, as Zechariah was chosen, by the way, to go in and to offer incense in the temple. And this was an incredible privilege. In fact, he was actually one of the sons of Aaron. So he was directly descended to Aaron. And by then, there were many of them. And only once in their lifetime would this ever happen. So this had never happened to him before, and it was never going to happen to him again. But he had the privilege of going into the temple and offering the incense. And I'll explain a little bit more about that later. And as he went in there, he met Gabriel. Can you imagine? He wasn't expecting it. What a surprise. He's there. He knows this is a privileged moment. He's in a very holy and slightly dangerous place, definitely scary. And suddenly, Gabriel kicks off the Christmas story in the temple and talks to him about his son, John, and about the Messiah that is coming. And then all around when he came out, there were people praying. There was a prayer meeting. And I went upstairs and I said to Joe, I said, I found an amazing thing. I said, I found in the Christmas story an older couple going to the prayer meeting. And it all started by this older couple going to the prayer meeting. And Joe said, now that's amazing because I've been praying up here. And I didn't know what to pray about. And so I was praying about what I should pray about. And I felt God got me interested in the altar of incense. So I've been looking it up. And I said, wow, that's amazing. That's really encouraging. And Joe said, what do you think God is saying? And I said, I think he's saying P-R-A-Y. He's calling us to pray. And that's part of what I want to say this morning. If we are going to have the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we are going to be effective, we need to pray. And I also want to encourage you a little bit this morning as to how that might be. Whenever you talk about prayer, there will always be some people in the room where their eyes glaze over. Because that's the thing I know I ought to do and I don't. Or that's the thing I know I ought to do and I can't. Or I once did, and I've given up. Because nobody finds it really easy to pray. But I feel this last year that God has really helped me to learn how to pray. And at the end, I want to just share a little bit about that. So amazing. So if you're older than 48, this is for you. It's actually for all of us. Because there's other people in the Christmas story. It's really a story for all ages, even kids before they're born. Mary was a teenager. Some people think she might have been as young as 14, possibly 15, 16, 17. She was very, very young. Can you imagine that? Think of somebody you know that's that age. That was the age when she had an experience with Gabriel as well. So here we are. And there is Zechariah. It isn't Zechariah, actually. That's the high priest. He was just a priest, so he didn't have all this stuff like in the middle. When Zechariah went in, all he had on was a white robe and a sash and something on his head. It was he had to go before God with a sense of righteousness. And while he was there offering this incense, he met Gabriel. Now, that altar there, can you see that? That golden altar. It's only about, what, a little over 2 foot high, made just over 1 foot wide, square. It's just little. It's just little. And one of the things I want to encourage you about this morning is we don't have to pray great big long religious prayers. We don't have to spend hours praying about everything. But we do need to pray. And I want to encourage you about praying about everything. King David said this. He said, let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. I want you to know this morning that when you pray, it's like sweet incense going up to God. God loves us to pray. Why does God love us to pray? Because he loves us. And for some extraordinary reason, he loves to have fellowship with us. And so he has made it that prayer is the way that we get things from him. And I'm sure there are many things in here this morning amongst us that we want from God. And I want to tell you that prayer is the answer. And if you don't bother to pray, you're going to really miss out. But if you pray, God will do amazing things. I've had many, many, many prayers in my life I've prayed. Some of them God has still not answered. Prayers that I started praying over 30 years ago, and he still hasn't answered those prayers. I believe he has answered. Maybe he's just saying, wait. But other things God has answered. Big things, many big things. Shared the other day, interestingly enough, a couple of weeks ago, I was privileged to be invited to go and share about prayer at Revelation Church, and it was lovely. And then a couple of weeks before that, I went to another church as a secret Santa. We were on holiday in Deal, and I just slipped in unawares, and it was just great to experience another church, very similar to us, very similar to Revelation, actually. And you realize that actually, whether it was Kent or the other side of Kentish town or us, that in some ways we're in the same place where we need a move of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in a greater way. In my life, when I became a Christian, there was quite a lot happening in different ways. And many people at that time were becoming Christians. So I know it can happen. And there's a little longing in my heart to see more of this. But they're doing the stuff. They're loving people. They're praying. They're finding opportunities to preach the gospel. And it's fantastic. And there's many, many, many faithful people at this time. But we need the Holy Spirit. And I was just interested that in Revelation, I was asked to speak on prayer, but it was actually the last in a series of talks about prayer. And when I went down to Deal in Kent, they were in the middle of a series on prayer. So you felt that maybe God is saying something to his church. Church, pray. And I have got this very much in my heart, and I'm praying that God will make me better at it. So David said, let my prayer be counted as incense. So the Bible equates that altar of incense as prayer. That altar, by the way, they came on and they put fire on it, and then they laid the incense upon it, and it was made up of four different ingredients. There are many different ingredients of prayer, and people have lots of ideas about prayer. And I want to encourage you to try lots of different ways of praying, because prayer should never be boring. Never be boring. And it can easily get mundane if we're doing the same old thing, the same old way. But try something different. I remember one of the ideas about prayer when I was growing up as a Christian was ACTS, A-C-T-S. Start with adoration, like we did this morning. Confession, confess my sins. Think of it, some things I can thank God for. And then supplication, that's asking God for things. And so there are different ingredients, which will always vary. I've spent time in my Christian life, I spent a lot of time praying the Lord's Prayer. And even within that framework of going through praying to my Father, praying that he will be hallowed in my life, and I pray for me and Joe and other people close to me that we will glorify God, and then praying for non-Christians, my kingdom come, your kingdom come, your will be done, offering myself to God, and then praying for my daily needs. Daily bread, praying for protection, praying God will make me strong in temptation. And I spent years probably praying around the Lord's Prayer. I've prayed Wesley's version of the Lord's Prayer. I've prayed Matthew Henry's version of the Lord's Prayer. I've read other books about the Lord's Prayer. And all the time I'm feeding and changing, encouraging myself. Because I'm convinced that the main thing about praying is pray. And actually, you don't have to get it absolutely right, but the very fact that we are drawing near to God is he will draw near to us. So there were four ingredients. There was variety in this thing, but there was also heat. First of all, the Zechariah would have gone and he would have got coals from the burning altar, the altar of burnt offering. And he'd have taken those burning coals and put them on that golden altar. And then he would have laid the incense on the top. And this beautiful, beautiful fragrance would have filled the place. Now, our lives should be like that, that when you go into the workplace, you smell of God. When you go to your student friends, you have a fragrance of something different. You have a heavenly fragrance. I love the thing that Michelle saw in the prayer meeting of the angels coming up and down. They were going up those steps. And God wants to bring things down from heaven and into our lives. There should be something heavenly about us, but it won't happen if we don't spend time with God. And then outside was the prayer meeting. The whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And when he actually put this incense on the altar, there was a big kind of like gong thing that they hit as they went to do it. And everybody outside would fall on their faces. And there was silence and reverence because it was praying. Something very, very important was going on. This altar of incense is also in heaven. Another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. This is Revelation 8, 3 to 5. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. So it talks about that incense being our prayers, the prayers of Christians. And so this angel gets hold of our prayers, puts them in a golden censer, and offers them up to God. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints, your prayers, my prayers, rose before God from the hand of the angel. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Power was released. It was a very powerful thing that was happening, that as our prayers go up, the power of God comes down. I don't know anybody in history who was really used of God who was not a man or a woman of prayer. I just don't know. It's impossible, really. If there isn't a communication going up, there will never be power coming down. And so we need to say, God, help us to pray. Acts 4:31. Now, the Holy Spirit you find in the Bible often comes to the prayer meeting. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem. They're waiting many days in that upper room. What were they doing? They were praying. They were getting united a bit as well. I think there was a lot of love going on there. And they were in love with one another, and they were waiting obediently in prayer to God. And on that 50th day after the death of Jesus, the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire were on the heads of everybody in the prayer meeting, because God had come by his Holy Spirit. And they went out, didn't they, in the power of the Spirit. And that day, 3,000 people were converted because the Holy Spirit came. And there was another prayer meeting in Acts 4:31. They were getting persecuted. And so they got before God and they prayed to him. They prayed this wonderful, exalting prayer. And at the end of it, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. If you want to be shaken in your life, then let's pray. Let's pray. Come to the prayer meeting. It doesn't have to be our prayer meeting. I love the prayer meetings there are across the church that have just grown up spontaneously. In our house, Joe and I, we pray with Raywin. Joe and I pray ourselves more than we have ever done. We just have really grown to believe in prayer. We've seen such fabulous answers that we have just want to pray more. It's not always easy. Sometimes we have to make a decision, but we still pray. Even when our day gets completely interrupted. The other day we were supposed to be going up to Amy and Drew's, and something happened. Well, we didn't get a chance to pray. So we just decided, we just got in the car and we said, well, let's pray. And so in that 20-minute journey from Tufnell Park to Bounds Green, we just prayed through all the stuff. We prayed for our children. We prayed for the church. We prayed for God's work. We prayed for different individual people. We prayed for people we often pray for. But we just prayed. And I can tell you, it was delightful. It was not boring. It was lovely. And we've just found that even when things are going wrong, we need to pray. You know, at the beginning with Elizabeth and Zechariah, they had a need in their lives. She was barren and she had been longing for a child. In those days, there was a shame attached to barrenness. So they prayed. Maybe they thought God would never answer their prayers. But a miracle happened because they prayed and they didn't give up. And God sent Gabriel. And he said, your prayers have been answered. And I'm going to send you a son. He answered their prayer. He came in the answer to prayer into the prayer meeting. And they went out after that encounter with God. And they continued praying. But prayer is fantastic. We need power. Luke 1:15-17, this is what God said to Zechariah. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn their hearts of the fathers to the children and disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. There's power in there. Power to turn hearts. I pray this morning that the little encouragement that I am giving to you to pray, I pray, God, would you turn our hearts? Would you do something in our hearts where this makes a difference? Because we need the Holy Spirit to turn hearts. And then he said, this man's going to go and your son is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. There are always bad relationships in our lives. And we are just coming up to Christmas now, aren't we? There are always difficult things in our families. There are always challenges. But the Holy Spirit wants to bring families together. He wants to bring people together. He wants to bring church together. But it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. And John was going to be part of that coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. God wants to make bad people good. And I'm talking about me. Yes? He wants to make us different. He doesn't just want us to confess our sin. He wants to cleanse us from our sin. He doesn't want to just forgive us our bad habits. He wants to break the bad habits in our lives. He wants things to be different. That's the point of his work. He wants to make us like Jesus. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, see if I can find where I want to be. I was going to mention Elizabeth and Mary, and I will just do in passing before I go somewhere else in here. It's a problem going to the prayer meeting. Okay. Do you remember when Mary goes to see Elizabeth, her cousin, and suddenly John the Baptist in Elizabeth leaps in the womb, and Elizabeth starts to prophesy, because when the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, things begin to happen. Here at New Life, we encourage the gifts of the Spirit. But I've just noticed that actually when we have a meeting and there's a real sense of God doing something, that at the end, I've often noticed people just come up and God just starts to speak. Because when the Holy Spirit is active, people start to prophesy. The gifts of the Spirit begin to flow. We don't have to coerce it. We don't even have to organize it. We don't even have to suggest it. Just when the Holy Spirit is active in the church, things begin to happen. And I believe this was the beginning of the fullness of the Spirit for John the Baptist. He understood. Was it at that time that he was filled with the Spirit in the womb of his mother? I think it probably was. He met Jesus in Mary, and even though he couldn't see the Messiah, something happened spiritually with that encounter with Jesus. And I think that's very exciting. The Holy Spirit was active in Mary's life. It says that the Spirit will come upon you, and that child which will be born in you will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit created Jesus in the womb of Mary. Wow, what a Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was brooding on the face of the waters in this earth when it was just some kind of waste and emptiness. The Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of God in Genesis, was brooding, waiting, hovering, wanting to do something. And that same Holy Spirit who lives in you and me, wow, he created the earth. Amazing, amazing. What power in the Holy Spirit. And then how? Okay, how's this going to happen? I'm cutting short my message here because I wanted to try and say something helpful. The worst thing I could say this morning is just pray, isn't it? But actually, how do we pray? And I just want to just share something like food off my own plate this morning. Something that I have found really helpful this year. And it all starts with the grace of God. Oh, I got to find this verse. Sorry. There it is. Yes. Let us then draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I really love this verse. I really love this verse. Let us, that's you, that's me. This is the instruction to you and me that we should draw near. That means come to the throne of grace. What is the throne of grace? It's where God is. This is just coming to Jesus, isn't it? This is what prayer is. It's coming to the throne of grace. What is grace? Somebody described it as something for nothing for those who don't deserve anything. Grace is free, except that it was bought with a great price by the blood of Jesus. But God is so rich in grace. He is so rich in mercy. If there's one thing I have learned this year is that God is good. The message of the angels was peace on earth and goodwill to mankind, that God is so wanting to do us good. And yet he is a holy God. And yet he is a just God. And yet he is a wrathful God. And yet he is a mighty God. But he is a God of grace and a God of kindness. And there is a throne there that is full of things for you and me. It's like Christmas, except much better. The throne of grace is waiting there. And we should draw near with confidence, boldly, because of Jesus, because he's paid the price, not us. But this is where prayer comes in. It says that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If we do not go and receive the mercy, if we don't go and find the grace, then it's just going to stay there in heaven, isn't it? And prayer is receiving that mercy and that grace. I was sitting next to Rob Morgan, who I don't think is here this morning, and we were praying at the end of the meeting, and he said something to me. There was one of those extraordinary moments in your life that changes everything. He said to me, every morning, Nick, when I get up, the first thing I do is I pray for grace. Now, that could have just been like water off a duck's back. But, you know, it was like a big light bulb lighting up in my mind. And I thought, yes, God has taught me about grace. It's one of my favorite subject in my life. I love grace because I have needed lots of mercy and lots of grace in my life. But Rob said, it's the first thing I do. And I've actually learned how to pray much better and effectively through this concept of grace. And the first thing I do is I say, God, could you give me grace to pray? Grace is spelled, grace is a four-letter word. H-E-L-P. To me, that's another translation of grace. God is so helpful. Can you believe that the God of heaven said, I will be your helper? And when Jesus died on the cross, having helped us so much by Calvary, he said, I'm going to send you another helper. And he's going to be in you. How amazing. A helper. God wants to give us help. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, we don't know how to pray. Are you like that? You get up in the morning, I don't know how to pray. I don't want to wonder, I don't even know how to get out of bed this morning. I don't know how to do this thing. So I'll mutter a few things and feel guilty all day and hope it'll be okay. I think we've all had that experience. But I say, God, you said, it says in your word, I don't know how to pray as I ought. And then it says, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And so the first thing I do is I say to God, please help me to pray. Help me to pray. The second thing is I pray that God will allow me to know him. The Bible says no one knows the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. We cannot know God. No person in the world, not one of your friends, not you. We cannot know God unless God reveals himself to us. And I say, God, reveal yourself to me. This year, one of my big verses has been that verse where Moses has been told by God, sorry, Moses, you're not going into the promised land. And for 40 years, he'd lived for that. And Moses said, oh, God, oh, come on. And God said, speak to me no more of this matter. But before that, Moses said this amazing thing to God. He said, I have not even begun to see your power. How amazing. David says, as the deer pants for streams of water, I'm so thirsty for you. Where are you, God? That's what that psalm says. Where is God? David saying, he's got such a personal hunger, a personal thirst. And I find in my own heart that God is reviving that. I say, God, give me a hunger. It's grace out there. Give me that hunger. You haven't got hunger. You ask for it. I want to know you better. I want to see your face. We were singing it this morning. And then I pray, God, give me grace to be like you. The fruit of the Spirit. I badly need this. My wife needs this. Not for her. She needs me to be like Jesus. Lots of love and sacrifice. A happy Nick. A peaceful Nick. A patient Nick. A gentle Nick. A long-suffering Nick. A faithful Nick. And it was self-control. Oh dear. The fruit of the Spirit. We can't do this ourselves. Why are we trying to? We go to God and we say, God, build the character of Jesus into me. And you'll find me 9 times out of 10 praying this every day, these things. Lord, help me to serve you. Paul said, who is adequate for these things? Who can do this? I can't do this. Most of the men and women of God in the Bible said the same thing. I can't do this. Lord, here I am. Send him. I can't do this. They were reluctant and unable, and that's how God wants it. John the Baptist and Elizabeth, they couldn't have a baby. God made it impossible so they would come to him. And then finally, pray about everything. Just pray about everything. It says we shouldn't be anxious about anything. You know the verse, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything with prayer and supplication. Just let God know about those things. And it doesn't take much time. We pray about the parking. We pray about the problems at the beginning of the day. Joe and I often stop during the day and we pray about the bad thing that's just happened. And we just see answer after answer after answer because God loves and delights to hear our prayer. Paul mentioned the prayer meeting on Tuesday, this amazing thing. God calls himself, I am the God who answers prayer. You are the God who answers prayer. It's one of the things he likes to be known by. Everything I need. I want to finish with this thought this morning. Do you ever get distressed? Do anyone here ever get that feeling of, oh, that knotting in the stomach? Feeling sometimes sick from anxiety? Anyone apart from me? This week, anybody? Yes? Yes? It says, don't worry about anything. But you know what that feeling is? That feeling of distress is. You know, if you were out at sea and you might send out a distress signal, send out a flare. Somebody out there, I'm here and I'm in trouble. That feeling of anxiety, that intense worry. Some people are sick with worry. Just believe that God sent that to you. As a distress signal. It's the signal that you should pray about the thing that you're worried about. I used to think that God only answered my prayers of faith, that if I believed something, we had a kind of faith language in those days. I'm believing for this, I'm believing for that. And some of the things we were believing for, we weren't really believing for because they never happened. But actually, I've discovered that God is bigger than our unbelief. Do you remember that guy that came up to Jesus and said, the disciples, they tried to heal this boy and they've not succeeded. Could you have a go? And Jesus said to him, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What a beautiful, honest prayer. Yes, there's some faith there. I'm not denying that. But help me with the bit that doesn't believe. We can ask about these things. And do you know Jesus healed that boy anyway? Maybe on his faith and not on the faith of that father. But God would prefer honesty than pretense in these things. So if you're anxious about something, is anybody anxious about something right now? I'm not going to call you to the front, don't worry. Yes, I saw a little hand go up there, a little hand. I've been worried about things this week. Friday morning for us looked like it was going to be a bad day. We got the day planned. Various things had happened, and I won't go into the detail, but all our plans had been spoiled. It didn't look like we got much time, but we just prayed about it. And Joe and I were amazed. We looked back at the end of the day, and God had added hours to our day somehow that were unplanned and we didn't know about. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. But we prayed. So let's pray, shall we? Let's stand. David, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray you give us grace. Lord, thank you for the throne of grace. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you. You didn't expect Elizabeth and Zechariah to be perfect. They were not perfect. Zechariah was full of unbelief so much that you struck him dumb. But you still work through them, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, that you don't expect us to be perfect in every way, Lord. Thank you, you are a God of immense grace. Thank you, Lord, that the plans you have for us are good plans. Thank you that there is peace and goodwill to all mankind. Oh, but God, we have to come to you, Lord. And we want to get better at praying, Lord. We just come to you in honesty this morning. Lord, we probably all pray a little bit, maybe some more than others. But Father, we all need to be better, Lord. I thank you, the disciples, they came to you and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Father, I want to pray this Christmas time, Lord, that you would teach us to pray. In this holiday time when we've got so much going on and relatives and too much food and drink, Lord, Father, we pray, help us to pray. Teach us to pray. Father, we want to be a praying church, Lord, not in a religious sense, not in a label sense, Lord, but we want to be a church in communication with our God. We want to be people who go out at the day filled with the Holy Spirit, with the fragrance of Jesus upon us. The people can just feel something different about us wherever we are, and they like the smell. That's what we want, Lord. So, Father, we pray, give us grace for this, Lord. Father, we come to you and we ask you, Lord, could you just hear our prayers? Lord, we want to bring you those anxieties. Father, for those of us that are worried about particular things, Lord, we just bring them right now, Lord. We bring them to you. We have that distress signal in our hearts, Lord. We come to Jesus. Lord, some of these things are so big, they seem impossible to us. Thank you, you said nothing is impossible with God. We bring you these things, whether we believe that you can help or not, we just come to you, Lord. Give us faith where we don't have the faith. Give us love, Lord, where we do not have love. Where we're going into situations at Christmas time where we almost hate some of the people, Lord, and they probably hate us, Lord. Father, where there have been difficulties in families and relationships, Lord, we just want to be honest with you. We bring those difficult situations. Father, those financial things, the kind of things that Anita was talking about earlier, Lord, we bring them to you, Lord. We don't want to spend our lives worrying and fretting. We bring them to you, Lord. We lay them at your feet. I love that prayer in the Bible, probably the shortest prayer. The Syrophoenician woman, and she just said, she came to Jesus and she just said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing, and let's just keep on praying. Worship is nothing if it's not prayer set to music, if we're not communicating with God in our heart. But let's take these words. This the song that we're going to sing was called Zechariah's Song, and there are prayers in it, wonderful prayers. So let's just use this as a vehicle to pray some of these prayers to God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
What a wonderful time to be in the presence of the living God. Shall we start today's service by just sharing what we heard, what the Lord was saying to us in the prayer meeting this morning? May I call on Michelle, please?
Hi there, good morning. As we used to say in school, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Anyway, we had a great time in the prayer meeting this morning, and I saw a picture of the steps of God. I mean, I don't know if it's accurate, but anyway, I saw like the angels of God ascending and descending down some steps. I think it was a ladder, wasn't it? Jacob's ladder, but mine was steps. And the angels were busy coming down and going back up. They were doing God's work, and we were at the bottom of the steps. And I just felt it was just fabulous that God hasn't left us on earth just to muddle along in our own strength, that his angels are coming up and down the steps to help us and to serve whatever purposes God has on earth. And I just felt that it was just amazing that God loves us so much, so much, that we're not on our own. He adores us, and he's sending all these angels up and down the steps to bring us whatever.
Thank you, Michelle. I think it's comforting to know that we have a God that takes pleasure in the affairs of his people. God is concerned about how we feel. We got a Bible reading this morning. I just wondered, it came on my mind while we were in the prayer meeting, and I just asked Raywin to come and read the Bible verse.
It's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you. Johnny, Mercy, please. They will be leading us in prayer this morning.
Yes, Lord. Would you still our hearts this morning? Would you be our one focus as we gather today? And would you meet us here this morning, please, Lord?
Thank you, Lord, for the gathering of your people today, Lord. Father, we want to invite you to come and take residence here, Lord, and have your way amongst us. Help us to decrease, O Lord, and so that you can increase in us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we just rise upon our feet as we welcome the presence of the living God with this worship song? Haven't met somebody that you don't know, and just meet them, introduce, show the love of God to them.
One of you grab a seat, please. Good morning. Welcome if you're visiting to New Life. The good news is, I'll give you a clue actually, in case any of you are not so sure. There you go. Very soon. It's not long. Oh, fantastic. We've got a keen Christmas admirer down here. Christmas is, if you haven't guessed, Christmas is not long away. Next Sunday, week today, we're going to be having our carol service here. And so that's why I got the sign out, to remind us. And if you're new, if you're visiting, I've just got some invites here. I wonder if I could take one and pass it on. That'd be fantastic. So next Sunday, we're not meeting in the morning. We're only meeting up here at 4 o'clock. If you want to come normal time and help set up, help decorate the hall, that would be fantastic. But the actual, our service in the morning service is just at 4 o'clock. And we advertise it widely, and so we get a lot of visitors come. So if you can come just before 4 o'clock, that would be fantastic. Aim a sort of 3:45, and then we're able to greet the visitors, make them welcome, and we have a good time. It's just an hour service. It's a short, very accessible for people who aren't Christians. There's three things to remember next week, please. All begin with F, letter F. Please bring a friend. If there's a neighbour, if there's a friend, a colleague, it will be something that will be fun and accessible, and it will have a Christian message. But it'd be easy for anyone who's not a Christian to come and enjoy and celebrate with us at Christmas time. Bring some funds, because we're raising money for the mosquito net project in India. And so if you want to donate towards that, that'd be fantastic. And finally, bring some finger food, because we're going to be sharing a little bit of tea afterwards. Nothing to heat up, just something that, just some nice finger food that we can share with the guests that come and really enjoy and have a very special time. Over the Christmas New Year period, this actual school is being used by Crisis at Christmas. The facilities here are being used, taken over by Crisis. It was fantastic. They're using them as part of their project. We'll be meeting different places, mostly at Chalk Farm Baptist Church, doing joint services with them. So on the information sheet that you got today, on the website, it details the services we've got over the Christmas New Year period, and the fact we're back here, meeting here, normal time on the 8th of January, after the Christmas time of coming and going, all the things that are going on. Looking forward to it. Joe, come and tell us a little bit more.
Just quickly, the children's groups. The kids and the youth groups kind of getting ready for next week. And it's slightly not going quite according to plan, which is sort of fairly typical this time of year. So what we're going to do is... sunbeams are going out in a moment, but they're going, if you go down that corridor, instead of going to the, my left and my right, instead of going to the right, you're going to go to the left, go into the normal corridor, but we've moved sunbeams into a warmer room, because that room on the end was getting very cold. And Elizabeth's at the helm, I think, with Sherry, yes? This morning. And then Flame, which is primary school age, and Tribe, which is year 7 and year 8, are all going to be together in the Flame Room. And we're kind of going to do some of the songs and practice stuff and do crafts and stuff. And then I think that Ablaze, I know we've been slightly to-ing and fro-ing, but I think Ablaze, if you want, you can come out and help us in those younger groups, or you can stay in, okay? So the choice is yours. And Ignite are going to be staying in. Is that okay? If you're not sure what you're doing, come and find one of us. Brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, today's a very special day for a certain young lady. I wonder if you give a big hand, please. It's Anita's birthday. Come on down. Let's have some cakes, please. Now, we've had guesses of 28, 26 even. It's very difficult. Anita's keeping her cards close to her chest. But there's some clue in the number of cupcakes that are coming forward. Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Anita. Happy birthday to you. Now, just tip those up for a moment. Just tip those up for a moment. There's a common theme on those cakes. There's something which is quite good. What is the theme of the cakes?
I don't really know. Oh, shoes.
Shoes! Anita, what's this with shoes? You definitely set the style in the church. There's no doubt about it for shoes. Incredible, incredible, absolutely incredible. Now, we've been very discreet today. We're not mentioning age, but we just want to bless you. And I understand you've got a testimony to share with us. So here we go.
Thank you very much. I don't know what's with shoes.
I think they attract me. I don't attract them. So, yeah. This morning I tried to wear a pair of shoes to cover my feet. And I thought, no, I'm too dressy. And I asked Peter, I said, I look too serious. Let me wear my normal slippers. And here I am. My birthday was on, yeah, this is a normal for me. My birthday was on Wednesday. And I turned 49. Looking forward to next year by God's grace, when I can let down my hair and show them how to do it at 50. So, I'm so grateful to God. And it's always easy to talk about trying times and how God took you out of it. I've not been that privileged. God took me through it. I've been in this country now for 20 years over. I don't have that privilege of being born here or having coming into the country with a red passport. So I've had to work hard for everything and really gone down that route. During that time, I piled a lot of debt because I did pay school fees for 11 years. And half of the time, I was still waiting on the Home Office. Then last year, November, I work on contracts. I've always worked on contracts. First, I used to be a temp. Then I set up my own company a few years ago. And I start working. I work as a consultant. I work on strategy. And last year, November, prior to that, I'd stayed at home. I didn't have any contracts. And it was just, I don't know what was happening. And I just got this one from, I was having short contracts 3 months and I was getting tired and gaps in them. So I got this call from an agency and said they want somebody in Somerset. And I didn't have to think about it twice. It was a long contract and the rates were. So I just headed off. I didn't pray about it. I just said, thank you, Jesus. And I'd made this decision several times, so I didn't really pray about it. But I didn't enjoy it. It was okay in the beginning. Then I worked twice as hard. I tried driving down 198 miles down and back. I got another car, left it there because you couldn't go around Somerset without a car. So I was running. I'd leave the car back there, a smaller car, and then I'll go on the train, carry my laptop. I just came back really fatigued, lost weight, and my son can testify, I'm a very fussy eater. I just don't eat. The food has to taste well, and hygiene as well. The very few things I know how to cook, I cook very well, so I'm not one for, so I tried the Chinese, was rubbish. So all I just ate was salads, mackerel, if it wasn't too salty. So that's it. I just go to bed. So I came back really skinny. I don't have much weight to lose when I do. So it's either I disappear, I don't lose weight. So I just maintain my weight. So I was really fatigued. I lost weight. I was stressed out. I'd work 2 days from home. I'd go back, you know. And it got to a point whereby I just went to God and I said, the turning point was actually Peter got unwell. He had an infection on his kidney and I had to leave him and go away. And a letter had come from the NHS for him to have a hospital appointment. And I thought, what kind of irresponsibility is this? I'm just going to go away. And but thank God for family and my brother-in-law. At times I think he loves me more than my sister, but I don't tell them. So he just took the letter off me and said, don't worry, I'll take him down. But I cried all the way. I think I went on the train and I just told God, you know what? I'm tired of this and I want out. And as it would work, I got somebody else on the project because I was leading the project. I'd written the PID and everything. And this lady was just one of the laziest person. If there's something I hate, I just don't like working with lazy people. She wanted to work from home most of the time. So that really was a drag. And I had to do 5 meetings each day. And she was meant to do the same amount. I was going to set the same standard for her because I was leading and she didn't like it. So I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to kill myself. 5 meetings each day is enough. And when you talk about 5 meetings, you're talking about a round trip of a meeting when I go to can be 120 miles, just one meeting, doing the driving. So I was doing mega miles, even in Somerset, and something just went wrong, and I said, you know what, this is it, I'm going back home. I didn't even know what I was going to do. If I don't work, I don't get paid. And if I just don't work for one day, let alone 1 week, I lose so much. I don't do much holidays because of income loss. By the time I calculate how much I'm losing and how much I'm spending on the holiday, I'm thinking, no, 3 days, 4 days. I don't do much holidays. I just packed my things and left. And then got back to London, didn't know what I was going to do, so I went to God. I said, Lord, forgive me. I've gone in my own way. I just need to work close home. I need to be with my son. Even for sanity's sake, I'm running crazy. I'm not well, you know? And you know the way they say it is well. I said, this is not well at all. And me taking my friend to the hospital one day, she wasn't feeling too well for a test. I sat down there just playing with my phone, and I saw this email in my junk box. Anita, the head of services has just talked about you. We have some work. Can you do it for us? And this was Ealing I'd worked in 2009, 2010. So I called him and I said, yes, here I am. And we met up. It was on my own terms. I accepted. I prayed about it. I proposed something much lesser than what I had just been earning. And he said, fine. And I could work from my home. I don't have to come in except I have meetings and all that. And I've been at Ealing since then. And the interesting thing is, I was earning lesser. I had peace. Debts that I've amassed for 11 years plus, I paid them all off. And I could put, when I talk about debt, I'm talking about thousands of pounds. It's not, when you're paying school fees, it's thousands of pounds. Utility bills that I've left, 6,000, you're talking 8,000. So I was able to pay off all those bills, and I was able to put some on the side, and I was able to bless people. So, and there's a scripture that comes to mind. It says, trust in the Lord in all your ways. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It's so easy for us to make decisions with our hearts because of experience. But we should always remember that the Bible does say that the heart is deceitful. And one thing I've learned again is, I have a scripture in Jeremiah 17 that talks about you. It talks about having, if you believe in the Lord, you're like a tree planted by the waterside, and you would know no, in the time of heat, you know, everything is just fine. And when people have been talking about recession and things are bad, my contract has been on. I'm going on a holiday. The boys are going on a holiday. I booked them on a holiday, and I'm going on a holiday. Because Ealing actually shuts down on the 23rd. So 1 week, they don't pay contractors except yours. So I don't have a choice. I'm shutting down, and I'm tired. I've done five, Paul knows about me. I've done five coursework and exams this year. I did the last one in November. I'm tired. I really need to shut down. I don't need to do anything. So I'm going on a holiday for 1 week, and I'm not even worrying about money. And that's the peace, you know, when they talk about peace in God, peace of God. And then I'll talk about something about life. Life throws so many things at you, but you're 10% of what life throws at you. You're actually 90% of how you react to it. So it's really your reaction. And I think we have this privilege in Christ Jesus. And it's Christmas now. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God made manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. And that's the story that starts Christmas and ends in Easter. We have that privilege. It's always good, no matter your expertise. There's so much emphasis on knowledge, personal knowledge, development, that we just seem to negate the word of God. And we don't ask him for the little things. Should I go left? Should I go right? You know, should I send my son to this top school? Is that what's going to be good for him? We like top quality, particularly from where I come from. From my background as a Nigerian, we take pride in education and quality one. But I found out that the moral compass, which should be the Bible, seems to have come to the background. As long as there's education, you can do anything, you can make certain decisions, and that's what education is all about. On the contrary, I think we should, not a thought process. I can tell you, if you start with God, it's not going to take you out of the waters. It'll take you through. And that scripture is stayed with me every time. It says, for all things work together for good. Working together for good. Good is not the definition of our education. Good is in God's perspective. How does God define good? Not good as in the Oxford Dictionary. It's more of making the fruit of the Spirit, teaching you maybe temperance, maybe teaching you, taking you out through it for good. And we have to go back to God's word, what is really good, what he says good is for us. Thank you.
God bless you. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you for that encouragement. Michelle, I'll just finish us off. You've got a verse, apparently. There's a Bible verse.
Yes. Hello. Now, the Bible verse is too long for most of us. So we're just going to learn the verse 15. But it's the Christmas holidays coming up. And if you want to learn all of it over Christmas, then it will do you tons and tons of good. And I just want to say that Pastor John Badkin, he said, if you want to be good at prophesying, you've got to get the word of God deep into your heart. So this is just one way where God can then use you more and more to prophesy if you get stuffed full of the Holy Spirit. And also, if you want the Holy Spirit to catch your heart on fire, it needs fuel. And one of the fuels is the word of God. And Philippa and Alan are going to help us today.
I think we've got a different one to the one that Michelle's put on the screen.
I've only learnt verse 15. I haven't learnt all that. So it's from John 15:15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. But I call you friends, for everything I have learnt from my Father, I have made known to you.
Okay, folks, I think I'm here as a representative of the people who's got a bad memory, okay? So we'll start off with a verse first, which is really easy, actually. I think Michelle's had pity on me. So John 15:15, you have to remember that. As you don't remember it in 3 days' time, you know, it's gone, okay? So here's my sort of little interpretation of this. So remember, John 15:15. So Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you servants who obey orders and don't know their master's business. Instead, I now call you friends who through me will get to know Father God. Which, you know, is incredible really, isn't it? It's promotion from servants to friends, which you think, what? This is incredible.
Thanks very much.
Fantastic. Thanks for your patience. Okay, the children, the babies, young people, now's the time to make a move, head out the door. If you brought children for the first time, not sure, just bring them over to the information point and we'll show you where they're going to go.